This is Tracy.
And this is Sheila, and we are Zwei Fat Chicks. And we are at the mall again, at the Oshawa Center in the food court.
And today's going to be a little bit of a potpourri kind of episode thing. We haven't recorded since Montreal. It is now mid-November. We have been down with the plague, and we had an invasion of visitors, which was awesome. We were happy to have company from the States, but it definitely put a little bit of a crimp in our recording schedule, so we're down to, like, nothing in the bucket.
Yeah.
So, and since we've been ill, obviously we haven't been going anyplace new because, well,
right.
I can't taste anything right now.
Yeah, we just had some fries, and even then it tasted like cardboard.
Yeah, I had a raspberry beer last night, a KLB raspberry wheat, and it tasted like ketchup. So I'm still a little bit off.
That's right.
I know, and I love raspberry wheat. It's one of my favorite Canadian beers, so it's a little bit not with the game right now, but we do have a couple places that we've been trying to cram into some other episodes, and it just hasn't happened. Our original intentions for one of these places was to do a noodle episode. So we're going to talk about the noodle place at Aurelia, and then we were going to cram in the one for Montreal, and then talk about this place. But because we decided to do the Montreal thing all in one shot,
and we ended up eating at the noodle place multiple times.
Yeah, and we talked about the place at Aurelia in the farewell episode. We completely destroyed the episode construction plans we had.
So this episode is going to be about two places in the States. It's going to be the American Asian edition.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about Lulu's Noodles in Pittsburgh. It's actually in the suburb of Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk about the Imperial Chinese Buffet in Erie.
Yes.
The best Chinese buffet ever. Because you don't even have to go to the buffet. They have Mongolian barbecue, a.k.a. Mongolian stir fry.
A.k.a. Mongolian grill. And it's really, this is the standard by which we measure all other Chinese buffets. It's
and
so
they have
sad.
All been found wanting.
Yes, they have. It's like the thing from a Knight's
Tale.
Tale.
Wade measured and found wanting.
Yes, that's kind of how we feel about the rest of the Chinese buffets in the world. So let's talk about that one first, since we've already launched into it. So we're so excited.
Okay.
We haven't been there in a while. It is on Peach Street in Erie. It is in one of the little, like, mini shopping plazas along Peach Street. Anybody who's familiar with Erie will know that Peach Street's kind of the stretch between Mill Creek and downtown Erie. It's the major road that leads to the Mill Creek Mall, which is a decent little shopping mall in Erie. I know some of our Erie friends poo-poo it because they're so used to it, but really, I think Mill Creek Mall really blew away the mall we had in Morgantown.
Oh, by leaps and bounds.
And it wasn't that the mall in Morgantown was bad. It was just small. It was very small. Mill Creek's pretty good.
And if you go into Payless, be nice to Becky.
Yes. If you go into Payless in Mill Creek, and there's a woman there named Becky with kind of short hair, be nice to her. She's our friend. We love her to death.
Treat her tenderly. Do not treat her like Al Bundy.
Yes.
So, and heap abuse on her.
Exactly. So the Imperial Chinese Buffet, it's if you're coming out of Erie to Mill Creek, it's on the right-hand side of the road. If you do a web search, and we'll put up a link to a review that'll have the address of the place at least, and we'll put it up on the map so you guys know where it is. And at first, when you walk in, it looks like your standard Chinese buffet.
They got the little fishies, and they got the person at the register.
And the cool little fountain by the register and everything.
And the pictures that change.
Yeah.
With, like, LEDs and stuff.
Exactly. This is the first Chinese buffet I ever went to in my life, believe it or not, too.
It's the best.
We'll talk about the first memories of it later, but it's it has a huge dining room area. I mean, I have to give them credit on that. They have more than enough seating.
Yeah.
And they have a decent regular buffet set out. You see a lot of the favorites on the buffet. They've got, you know, General Tso's, beef and broccoli, usually chicken and garlic. They usually have something kind of kung pao-y.
Sweet and sour chicken.
Sweet and sour chicken, which is different here.
Yeah,
than
here,
in the States.
For some reason in Canada, they're actually called chicken balls. And in the States, it's called sweet and sour chicken. When you order chicken balls in Canada, you get, it's almost like a, would you say, a golf ball sized piece of chicken?
Golf ball.
That's wrapped in
breading?
Breading, or batter, and fried.
It's more like racquetball sized.
Yeah.
Just think of the size of the ones we got from the place at Aurelia versus, like, Velcro's racquetballs, and they're almost the same size.
Yeah, they're big enough that you can pick them up and eat them in, like, three bites.
Yeah. They're like giant, chickeny, battered hush puppies, almost.
Yeah.
But they're
instead
good.
Of in the States, they usually end up being, like, oval-shaped or more or less shaped like a piece of chicken.
Mm-hmm.
Here, they batter them until they're giant and huge and delicious.
See, I was afraid when we first moved to order anything chicken balls because I didn't know if it was like a meatball made of chicken.
Right.
Until you ordered it and I realized, oh, it's just sweet and sour chicken with more batter on it. But the batter is really good.
Interesting cultural difference there.
This. So it looks like a normal buffet. They have a little dessert buffet. They have the little ice cream machine. But what makes it special is when you walk in, you see this giant, round, like, it's not a grill because it's not open grate.
It's more like a griddle.
Griddle, yes.
To be honest.
But it's hot.
It's extremely, like, rocket hot.
Yes.
It's got, like, a... Is it propane hot?
I don't know, but it has its own hood.
Because it's got, like, this big pillar, and then it's got this round UFO-shaped flat griddle around it.
Yeah, and it's... Now, Mongolian stir-fry slash Mongolian barbecue slash Mongolian grill. Let's just call it Mongolian barbecue for the sake of the episode and brevity. It's... The legend has it that Genghis Khan's soldiers would cook on their shields over a fire.
Yeah.
And that's supposedly where the concept of the Mongolian barbecue came from. I don't think that's true. Everything I've read says it's only a legend. It's only a quaint little tale. But it's kind of cool.
It's fun.
Yeah. So they have, off to the side, away from the regular food, because they're all about food safety, they have a little buffet set up of raw food. And they have... everything you would want in your stir fry there. They have noodles, bamboo shoots, carrots, mushrooms, all the veggies.
Water chestnuts.
Water chestnuts with little bean sprouts.
Yes.
Don't they have those too?
Yep.
So they have all that. Then they have like the meat. They have the crab with a K.
Yep.
Which I know a lot of people knock on crab with a K, but I think when it comes to a Western Chinese food, crab with a K really has found its place.
Yeah.
Because it really goes well in a lot of stir fries. It really goes well in a lot of those dishes. So.
Well, and you're eating it now. You're not saving it for later. You're cooking it fast. You're cooking it hot.
Because crab with a K goes bad
now.
There's no, oh, I'll eat it in an hour. No, you eat it now. As soon as it comes out of the fridge. It may spoil on the way to your mouth.
Yes.
Be careful. Eat fast. So they have that. They have thinly shaved slices of chicken and beef and pork. And they also have shrimpies.
Yay, shrimpies.
Yay, shrimpies. So you go through and you throw everything on your plate in one massive heap. Don't worry about making it pretty. Don't worry about separating it.
Don't worry about things touching each other. It's not going to come back in any sort of form that you gave it to them.
Exactly. And if you don't like your food to touch...
this may not be for you.
Exactly. You have to be a fan of stir fry to enjoy this. So you throw all your stuff together. You can keep it as big as you want or just a little bit. There have been times
it's a buffet.
You usually get noodles in yours. I usually don't bother with noodles. I usually just get the meat and the veggies. So then you go wait in line. There's almost always a line to get to the little barbecue. I've only gone in a handful of times at odd hours of the day when you go in at like 2:30, you know. Only those times have we been able to go right up and not have to wait in line. I've been there on weekends when I was in college where, I mean, the line was like 10 deep. And the guy is just going nuts trying to keep up with it, but he's fast.
He's very fast.
So when you get up there, they're going to ask you if you want it spicy or not.
There's three different kinds of the sauce. Mm-hmm. There's the not spicy, which is just like a garlic sauce. Mm-hmm. There's the teriyaki, which is kind of spicy. And then there's the red sauce, which is not burn your face off spicy, but there is a lot of heat to it.
Yes.
And there's a lot of flavor. It's like those Asian chili pepper sauces.
Mm-hmm. It's full of ninja pepper.
Wah!
And if you ask him, when you go up, he'll ask you which one you want. If you say, I want it really spicy,
he will make it really spicy.
It will burn your face off. You will be carrying the plate back to your table, and nose hairs will be singeing off of patrons around you. It's so spicy. So be warned. They will make it spicy if you ask. So he takes your food. He throws, like, the sauce that you request on it. He can throw extra garlic on it and ginger if you ask, too. And then they throw it into the middle of this giant, like, 3-foot, 4-foot griddle. It's about 4 feet almost, really.
Yeah, it's really
big. It's big enough he has to walk around it. And then he takes a couple ladles of water, and he ladles the water on your plate onto the stuff to get the rest of the sauce off. And then he tosses the plate in his discard bin, and he gets a fresh one, because it would be very bad to take raw chicken on a plate and then put cooked food on top of that.
Yes.
So.
Oh, yes. It makes my... eyes water.
That's
just
a weekend.
About it.
That's a weekend worshiping the porcelain god right there.
Yes. So, calling Ralph on the big white phone.
And then he has these two big wooden sticks.
They're jumbo chopsticks for ogres.
They are. They're like Shrek chopsticks. They're huge. And he goes around the grill in a circle, and he just like moves your stuff around. And as your stuff cooks, he'll go to the next person and get their plate ready with the sauces. And he goes back to yours and stirs it around some more. Maybe throws a little water on, depending. Stirs it some more, and then he just kind of scoops it all together with his two giant chopsticks. He doesn't use them with one hand, by the way. We're giving, like, a false image. I'm sure somebody's imagining somebody with these giant chopsticks in one
hand. No, he's got, like, one in each hand.
Yeah.
Well, you can't see the movements that we're making.
Yeah. So then he, like, scoops it all together with the two, and he just slides it right onto your plate and gives it to you. Now, I've seen guys walk up there with heaping plates of stir-fry, and that's one of the things when you cook it like you're supposed to, you really cook it until it's done, it reduces down to like, what, half of what they had, a quarter of what
easily,
they had?
Oh yeah, because it's super fluffy and when it's raw.
Yeah. So when you go to the raw bar there, don't feel like a pig.
Because it's all going to squish down
yeah,
as it cooks.
You want to go up there with a nice heaping plate. Don't be like a delicate flower of womanhood and say, I'll just take 3 bamboo shoots, 2 mushrooms, and a sliver of chicken. It's, you know.
It's not going to be anything by the time he gives it back to you.
No, because it reduces down really, really far. And that's it. That's the Mongolian barbecue.
Yeah.
And it is, I don't know why, it's such a simple thing, but it tastes so good. And I think it's because it's fresh.
Yeah, it's cooked fresh. It's not sitting. Some foods improve sitting there, like lasagna,
yeah.
chili. Some
Soups.
Foods are a lot better if they're cooked immediately fresh and given to you. And it's just a simple matter of serving the food the way it should be served.
Mm-hmm.
And the Mongolian barbecue is awesome, and I've never seen anything else like it. And I didn't even know it existed until we went there.
And that's something that I didn't even think of it until you said it. All those foods that are better when they sit there or they wait overnight, those are also foods that they have a lot of mass.
Yeah.
So they can hold their temperature. So if you go up to like a buffet and you get a serving of lasagna that's been sitting there for an hour, it's not the end of the world. The buffet's keeping it at a temperature where you're not going to get food poisoning. But stir fry, you're talking about lots of tiny little slivers of food. And yeah, they're all stacked together, but they're not going to retain their temperature because they just don't have that huge, compact mass.
The mass to keep it at a constant temperature.
Exactly.
Well,
so
and it's shaved so thin so that it cooks really fast.
Yeah.
Which, going back to the legend, you mentioned that one of the reasons why they would do that would be because slivered up food takes less fuel to cook than like a big bubbling pot of soup. Or that takes a lot of energy to
cook. Or baking.
That amount, yeah, exactly.
Cooking an ox over a fire, that takes like all day. You have to have like 2 kids sitting there, you know, basting it and stirring it.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's something that I can see where if you're in a civilization where fuel is at a premium. Or
like if you're on the steppes of Mongolia.
Exactly. And instead of like cooking with like giant logs that your husband cut down from the massive forests that are all over the place, you're cooking with like whatever you can find in like buffalo chips or horse chips.
Right. And then a lot of cultures, they do use dried herbivore dung as fuel.
Yes.
You see that actually in Britain, too. Like, they'll use dried sheep dung in Ireland
more
and stuff.
Oh, yeah, in Scotland,
In Scotland and Ireland, yeah.
So it's, I can see where it came from, and I can lend some credibility to the idea of it, but I don't think it was Genghis Khan soldiers doing it.
No, probably not. But as far as, like, being soldiers on the move, and you want something that's hot and tasty to replenish your morale,
mm-hmm.
it makes sense that you would take the food instead of trying to roast a big slab over the fire.
Yeah.
This tiny little fire that you've managed to like get together, you're going to cut it smaller so that it cooks faster.
Mm-hmm.
In
exactly.
even pieces.
Now, usually we hit this place during lunch, but if you do go during dinner, they are one of the Chinese buffets. As of the last time we were there, they do the crab legs.
Mm.
And they are very plentiful with their crab legs. They keep putting them out, and you can go nuts with it, which is something I used to do with some of my friends in college. We'd save up and go for the dinner buffet and gorge on crab and Mongolian barbecue. Very good. Now, the prices are really, really reasonable. I think the lunch is right around, $5-6?
Yeah.
And I think dinner's closer to 10 because of the crab.
Dinner's like 10 or 12, but
yeah.
even that is really, really good for dinner when you can get access to this one-of-a-kind kind of buffet.
Yeah. Soda's extra. They do serve beer. They do serve other drinks. So if you want to have a beer with your Mongolian barbecue, go you.
There's the ubiquitous Chinese tea.
They have Chinese tea as well. So there's a lot of variety there. It's just the quality of the food on the buffet has always been really good. It's always fresh. They have a decent variety. And the Mongolian barbecue is what blows everything else away.
Oh, yeah.
And I've been to other Chinese buffets that have had more variety. But for what you pay, it's just not as good.
No, it's not.
So.
And they take cash.
Everything.
They take card. And they take a charge.
Debit in the States is your Visa card. They take cash. I do not believe they take checks anymore, but they still may. It depends. I know they do delivery as well and takeout. You can go in and order the buffet by the pound.
Yeah, so you can go get like 5 pounds of Mongolian barbecue to go.
Yeah, exactly. And it's so customizable. It's not like when you go to order a pizza and everybody's sitting there bickering, I don't like mushrooms, well, I don't like olives, well, I don't like anything you guys selected, I'm allergic to gluten, you know?
Yeah.
Everyone's complaining. It's everybody can go if you have a group of people, get what they want, not just on the buffet, but even to the point where you can customize your ingredients, and that's always a crowd pleaser. And I think that's one of the reasons it was so popular in college.
Yeah.
Because I went to school at Edinburgh, which is maybe a 20-minute car ride from Erie. And I think it was my sophomore year, maybe late freshman year, one of our friends, Brian, said, hey, have you guys ever been here? And we're like, no, never heard of it. And he took us up and said, you know, I've got a car, let's go. You have to check this out. And I was blown away. And that became like a regular thing in college on the weekend, like Saturday. most of the time Saturday was, if everybody was around, we'd get up. Usually Spencer had a car, Blake had a car, or later on Rick had a car. Everybody would get up, go maybe eat breakfast, usually just skip breakfast, pile in the car, go out to the Chinese stir fry, or I'm sorry, Chinese buffet, and then we hit all the little geek stores in the area, because across the street from there used to be a place called Subatomic Comics. So we would do the live-action Frogger thing. You cross the street to go to Subatomic, then come back. And then down the road, closer to the mall, is a place called Books Galore.
Books Galore is awesome.
Yeah.
If you're a geek, if you're into comics, if you're into gaming, go check it out.
You have to go to Books Galore. Great used bookstore, great selection of games, great selection of role-playing games, dice, comics, everything.
It's like, what, is it three stories high? Because there's
it's
like
a
second floor, and there's like an attic, too.
Yeah.
And, I mean, even if you're not into gaming or into geeky stuff, if you like reading, they have so many different used books. I can always find a treasure or two or five
and
whenever I go there.
They rotate their selection regularly, too. It's not like it's the same stuff on the shelf over and over. I mean, they're really
good. There's like some sort of off-site storage, or maybe that's what's in the basement.
Yeah.
And they rotate the stock up, so it's not always the same stuff.
Well, I think they just sell it that fast, honestly, because
maybe.
You think they're like in a nexus area between four colleges. Because you have Edinburgh kind of south of them, kind of, I want to say east, but I might be wrong slightly, is Penn State Barron.
Oh, Barron.
Barron's campus. Then there's Mercyhurst, and there's Gannon. So there's like four colleges in the area that have tons of students, board students. Some of them actually read, believe it or not. Last I checked, I know reading is not a big hobby amongst our youth, and I consider myself one of the youth, but I know it's still there, and there's still geeks between those four campuses. So that was like always our little routine. Maybe we'd go down to Tinseltown and catch a movie, or go to the mall and kind of bum around, but that's just such a prominent college memory. And then to take you there and have you feel the same way about it and say, wow, this is really good. I know it wasn't just college nostalgia saying,
no.
Hey, this is good.
I wish there was one of those everywhere.
Yeah.
Really, both places.
Exactly.
The Mongolian barbecue and the Books Galore.
Yeah, well, Books Galore's entire house has been converted to this store. So you have the base floor that has all the books and the role-playing games and some of the used books. Then you have the other two floors that are full of used books, too. So, I mean, that's it's almost the size of a Barnes & Noble once you collapse everything down.
Yeah, if you were to take everything and spread it out onto one floor.
Yeah, it's very large. And then I even took my mom there once. We went once, she came up for college to get me, and we went up there. She really liked it, too. So, again, I've gone there with so many different people, and everybody's always said, wow, this is like the best buffet I've ever been to.
Yeah.
That you can tell this is definitely a gem of Erie.
Yeah.
And if you're in the area, you want good Chinese food.
If you're going, if you're coming down from Canada to go shopping.
Yes.
To cross-border shopping, go check them out.
Which, that's the perfect trip for Canadians. Because
yes.
You go to a lot of Canadians up in the central southern Ontario region. Like
GTA area.
GTA area. Like to go to Grove City. And Erie's almost the perfect halfway point. It's not quite halfway. It's a little bit further than halfway. But you can stop at Erie for lunch, grab a bite,
go to the Chinese place.
It'll be fast. I mean, you can be in and out of there in 20 minutes if it's not too busy.
If you've got time, then by all means, take an hour.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and then hit Mill Creek.
Yeah, hit Mill Creek and hit Books Galore.
Mm-hmm.
Is it the guy at the Mongolian barbecue that's kind of like a sushi chef, where he has like a little...
Yes, that's
thing?
Right. We should
he has a jug
that.
There.
He has a tip
so
jug.
So if you have a couple bucks, throw it in, because he's doing a really good job. And his stuff is always awesome.
Well, I can tell you also, after years of regular tipping in college, we always made sure we threw a buck or two in. Or even if we just had change, we threw something into his thing, and it makes a difference.
Yeah.
You ask him, I want an extra spicy with extra garlic. I mean, he'll do it.
Yeah.
It's just, it keeps them happy. It's courtesy, I think, because you're getting good food. And if you go up for a second trip, I guarantee you it will be made with extra love.
Yeah, exactly.
And love makes food taste better. So.
It does.
Yeah. So we give the place two hearty thumbs up. We'll put up the specifics on how to get there on the Podbean site.
Yep.
So next up, Lulu's.
Yay! Lulu's Noodles.
Well, Lulu's, it's in Oakland. Like you said, it's kind of like a suburb, but not really. It's kind of part of Pittsburgh.
Right.
And it's the college area, the bohemian area of Pittsburgh. You've got the Pitt campus there. That's where Carnegie Mellon, I want to say, is in Oakland, too. That's where the museum is, the Carnegie Natural History Museum and the Art Museum.
There's the Citadel of Learning, which scared me.
The Cathedral
you
of Learning.
You will learn.
We drove by the Cathedral of Learning, and Sheila said, oh, my God, it's so big. They're like, oh, we should go. We need to go in someday when we're down there.
I expected there to be, like, lasers of literacy going pew-pew, firing into the crowd.
The Cathedral of Learning is impressive. If you're in Pittsburgh for whatever reason and you want to see something neat, go check it out. So I cannot tell you exactly where it is. I think it's on Craig Street.
It's on South Craig.
South Craig. Okay, well, again, we're going to put the specifics up for this place.
Because
it's on the website.
Whenever we go to Trader Joe's, we'd always make sure and go to Lulu's.
Lulu's, yes. And we found a website that has scans of their menus because they don't have a website themselves. So we'll put that up with our links too, because that's really cool to see the menu.
And if you're trying to phone them to get directions and you're using a directory like 411 or the Pittsburgh phone book, they are not listed as Lulu's Noodles. They are listed as Yum Walk Catering, because they have a catering business too. Mm-hmm. And for some reason that they're not listed under Lulu's.
There are two doors into the place, so be aware. Most likely you'll probably go in the main door. There's one kind of off in the back of the side too. It's a decent sized establishment. There's seating for quite a few people there.
Especially for a downtown restaurant.
Mm-hmm. And it is primarily a noodle shop. And they sell, I don't believe they're homemade noodles, but they are killer noodle bowls.
Yeah.
And we usually get the pad thai. Lulu's Noodles has one of the best pad thais I've ever had.
It just is awesome.
Yes.
Everything is fresh. Everything is made to order. And it just tastes amazing. And they have the right mix of everything.
The portion sizes on it are like a 5. It would fill Aaron to the brim. And it's plentiful with the ingredients in it. They don't skimp on anything.
No. It's like a dinner plate from home. It's like humped up.
Mm-hmm. Full of just...
So like a big pile of like a tangle, if you will, of pad thai or whatever you're ordering.
We should discuss what pad thai is, because some people may not know.
That's true. And we never did do any other show about it.
No, we mentioned we had it at the place in Aurelia, and I've mentioned it in food courts, but I don't think we've really gotten in-depth in it.
Okay.
And it's, is it from Thailand?
Yeah, it's a Thai dish, and it was originally, if memory serves me correctly, I'm quoting Alton Brown.
Let's say, if memory serves me, no, that's Iron Chef.
That's Iron Chef.
Well, thank you, Chairman.
Well, if memory serves me correctly, according to Alton Brown, the pad thai was developed, I think it was around World War II or World War I. It was in this century, or I guess this last century, and it was supposed to be a staple dish that it was based on bean sprouts, and it had egg and usually meat and seafood in it. And they said that every house had its own pad thai kind of thing. So, like, every person would put their own twist on it.
See, I always thought it was kind of like a Thai version of chop suey. So, I'm kind of right, I guess. See how chop suey was just...
Like, whatever you had,
you threw in.
Yeah.
Because the roots of chop suey were that it was in the West.
American GIs?
No, it was actually in the West during one of the gold rushes. There was a Chinese restaurant, and I want to say gold miners, maybe? Or some kind of rough and tumble people.
Pioneering folk
walked into a Chinese restaurant out in the West and wanted something to eat, and they had pretty much nothing left, but they had to cook for these folks. So they just started throwing everything together that they had left over, and they're like, oh, what's it called? This is great. And they're like, oh, it's chop suey. Because chop suey isn't actually an American dish.
Yeah.
So the pad thai would kind of be like Thai chop suey, because everybody throws in what they like.
Right.
But usually the base is kind of a sweet sauce, right?
Yeah. It's like a sweet, spicy sauce.
With thin noodles, not huge honky giant spaghetti noodles, thin noodles.
Yeah.
And then usually you have egg in it. You can have tofu, chicken, beef, pork, shrimp.
Usually it's got everything in it.
Yeah. I've seen ones where if you go to some of the places in the food court at a mall, where they'll give you an option. Do you want the chicken, the beef, the shrimp, the tofu, or do you want a combo? A lot of places.
The combo is more authentic.
Yeah, the combo is much more authentic.
And delicious.
And there's also peanuts in it, so be aware, if you're allergic to peanuts, you may want to avoid pad thai. Or find somebody who can make it at home for you without peanuts in it.
Right.
But it's just one of those, like, soul-fulfilling dishes.
Yeah.
Because when you eat it, you just... All the flavors hit all of those little pistons in your tongue.
Yeah, it's so balanced, and there's such a range of flavors. It's just amazing.
Mm-hmm. Because you have the sweet, you have the salty, you have the different meat flavors in there. It's one of my favorite dishes to have with tofu.
Right. And you've got all the different textures in there, too.
Yeah.
You've got squishy eggs and squishy tofu. You've got crunchy bean sprouts.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the mouthfeel of the noodles. And you've got the chewiness of whatever other meats that you've got in there.
Mm-hmm. So Lulu's does an amazing pad thai. The only thing Sheila's ever had there, main dish-wise, has been the pad thai.
I'm bad at that.
Well, you know, it was before we started doing the podcast, so deciding we need to just branch out, and you order what you like, and that's fine. I like it too. I had been there a long time ago with one of my other friends, and I had ordered the chicken noodle bowl, and it came in a big old bowl with sliced chicken on top, and lots of noodles, and cilantro, and Lulu's was the first place I really ran into cilantro to a degree in a dish where I could taste it. And it was before the summer before I went to China, And I didn't like it. I was like, oh my god, this tastes like soap. This is terrible. So I picked all the cilantro out and ate the rest of my noodles and was happy with that. But then I went to China. I ran into some creative uses of cilantro there, which this is weird because I thought that was a New World herb.
I think so.
But
I think it is.
Into Chinese cooking. So that's kind of interesting. But it crept into Chinese cooking. I had it there in different ways that I really enjoyed it. And then I came back and had Lulu's again. I said, oh my god, this is great. I love cilantro. Let's put it in everything. I think it was the dumplings that converted me, because I had it in a lot of dumplings in China.
Probably, because where most people encounter cilantro for the first time is usually in salsas.
Yeah.
Because it's a New World herb.
Yeah.
You don't really find it. Well, maybe they had it in Europe, because coriander is the seed of the cilantro.
True, so maybe it was something that was available in the eastern areas. We'll do a little research and maybe correct ourselves on the Podbean site. So.
They can always throw in, do an addendum.
I'm sure like that the food academics type people who listen to this are like, oh god, it hurts, just stop talking. Stop making an ass of yourself. The other things they have on the menu, they have some regular Asian dishes, they have different stir fries, they have rice bowls. Which I've not had them. I've been told by friends that they're really good. And they also have a killer appetizer section. And that's where we had the scallion pancakes.
Oh, yeah.
Like the ones I had in China.
Yeah.
And it's just a thin, floury pancake, almost like a crepe, but it's kind of layered. And it has little bits of green onion or scallion mixed into the batter, so they're kind of like interspersed throughout the pancake. And you just kind of rip off a piece and you can dip it in the dipping sauce they serve with it. And it's really, really good.
It would be probably. I guess you could classify Lulu's as a pan-Asian restaurant.
Totally. Or you can use those hated words of Asian fusion.
Asian fusion.
Oh, I hate that. It's a fusion restaurant. They have nuclear food? That's awesome. I've always wanted to glow in the dark.
Wow. It's got like Tesla coils with like noodles going up and down it.
Get some Nuka-Cola.
Yes.
Quantum Nuka-Cola. Yes. I'd love to have that. So, yeah, I don't like referring to things as fusion. It just sounds too high-tech.
Whenever I hear Asian fusion, I always picture the hot cuisine with like a water chestnut with a sprig of like mint hanging off of it.
Two pieces of fish roe on it.
Yeah, with like two pieces of fish roe. Maybe having a piece of blowfish sitting there, artistically arranged with like a squiggle of wasabi sauce.
Yeah, I'm and like, that's your main dish. Yeah, so I think that's why we just don't like the words fusion. We associate it with
that's why I'm going to say
snobby food.
It's pan-Asian.
It's pan-Asian.
Because you're going to have Vietnamese food, you're going to have Chinese, Japanese, because they have the soba noodles, they have the pad thai, and all that stuff.
But their appetizer section. Now, the pancakes that we had, the scallion pancakes we had there, were more like what I had in China versus the ones that we had at the noodle factory in Montreal. Those were the ones that were rolled up and kind of crunchy.
Right.
Totally different, but still really good. So, and their dumplings are really good. Their pot stickers are really good at Lulu's. And they have bubble tea, which we have gone on to about at length.
Is that the first time we ever had bubble tea?
We had had it in Morgantown because the place opened up in Morgantown and we went and had it there. And then we were up at Lulu's one of those times and we ended up getting bubble tea then. And they have really good bubble tea, too.
Have we talked about bubble tea?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
We talked about it, I think, when we did the dim sum and hot pot one. Because we went over after hot pot the one time and got bubble tea.
We've done enough episodes that I really can't remember what we talked about.
I know. It's getting fuzzy.
Yeah. And we've had over 1,000 hits.
Yes. We had a milestone last month. We finally had 1,000 downloads and or listens of all of our episodes total.
Which isn't that bad since we're coming up on the 20. This will be like
it was
the
26th right around,
episode.
It was right around episode 20, I think, when that happened. So maybe 22. Which I'm impressed with because I didn't think more than like 3 people would ever listen to this.
Right.
So, but if you like us, tell your friends.
The best thing that you could possibly do would be to go to the Podbean site and sign up for a free Podbean account and add us as
subscribe.
As a subscription.
Yeah, because if you are listed as a subscriber, those go towards our ratings on Podbean that let us move up in the charts so we can hit the first page and then people who are just wondering by browsing may say, hey, look. And we've actually moved up a couple pages.
Yeah.
I think we're in like the first 5 for food tags now.
Yeah.
As opposed to being at the end when we first started, which is kind of nice. But anyway, back to Lulu's. So, Lulu's is filthy affordable.
Filthy affordable.
It's filthy affordable. I think
they're practically giving it away. You have no excuse.
You don't, really. The noodle bowls
drive past the drive-thru, go to Lulu's.
It's cheaper than McDonald's now, really.
It is.
I think the most expensive thing on the menu may be $10. I could be wrong. They may have raised their prices a little bit because costs have gone up. But you're looking at around $6-$7 for a noodle bowl, which is all you need. Or the pad thai, I think, was right around $7.
Yeah.
The appetizers, you know, run anywhere from $3 to $6, which you would split like a plate of pot stickers with your friends or whatever. The bubble tea is comparative to everything else. It's around $3-4 a glass. But when you're getting bubble tea, it's almost like getting a smoothie.
Like a dessert.
It's a dessert or a smoothie.
You don't get it to like, you don't drink your bubble tea with your meal. That's like an all on its own kind of deal.
Oh, that would be such a texture
war.
Oh.
It would be an all out battle of the bubble.
Oh, that would be horrible. I don't want that. But it's just the prices there. You could go there with four people and get out of the place probably under $40, I think.
Oh, yeah.
I think the most we've ever
around
paid.
Around $10 a person,
yeah,
probably.
$10 a person is more than enough, which makes sense. It's in the college district.
Yeah.
You have a lot of poor, starving college students there and not so college-y, starving, poor adults like us who would drop in and go there. And we mentioned Trader Joe's. We might as well talk about them since they're in the area, because that's one of the regular routes as we go hit Trader Joe's to buy cool stuff and then go to Lulu's, and then we'd also go up the street to Phantom of the Attic.
Yeah.
So Trader Joe's is a grocery store. It's a dirty,
like,
hippie grocery store of epic proportions. Imagine your neighborhood co-op and make it into a grocery store.
And make it a chain.
And make it a chain. But it's not an evil chain.
No.
In fact, one of the classes I took when I was doing my accounting degree, we talked about Trader Joe's. This is actually like the leadership class. We talked about Trader Joe's and how they handle employee relations and how they handle keeping morale up. And they are one of the benchmarks of how you can treat your employees, because they pay them well, they offer a lot of perks, and because of that, their morale is always high, their employees are always very happy, they have a very low turnover, which in retail was amazing.
Yeah.
So they live up to the dirty hippie principles of, you know,
the work
be
paradise.
Excellent to each other. Yeah. You know, gotta do the Bill and Ted thing. Be excellent to each other. They live up to that, which is really cool to see. Anyway, I love the store. Their employees, their uniforms are Hawaiian shirts.
And they're always happy.
Which makes me happy. And they are always happy. Every time we've been there, it's not like a fake happy, like, I'm going to kill someone after work. No, it's like they're genuinely pleased to be at work. And it's full of organic food, which if that's important to you, go you.
Yeah. Full of fair trade food.
Fair trade food.
Which is important to me.
Yes. But they're also full of things that you can't always get other places. Like those amazing mustard wonton chips.
Oh my god.
They're so good.
She's like obsessed with these things. Okay, they do have a killer snack aisle. They have like an entire row of like chips, crackers, salty, sweet, munchy things that you could take anywhere and be fallen upon. Thank you, thank you, thank you for bringing all the tasty snacks.
Yes.
So there's the wonton mustard chip. There's a bunch of other different like organic type chips.
They had like different Hollis popcorns, I think. And they also had the aisle of dried fruit.
Oh, the aisle of dried fruit is delicious.
And they had the flat bananas.
Yes.
Oh,
banana flattened.
Yeah, that's the name of it. And it's this like little clear see-through, well, obviously clear see-through package of bananas, and they've been dried and flattened. So you peel them out and they look like banana shoe leather. So it's banana jerky.
Yeah.
And it is amazing because it's just bananas. There's not anything else really
added. Yeah, they don't add sugar to it. Yes. They slice it super thin, they dry it out, they slap it all together, and they put it in the package.
And it was affordable. It was like, what, $2 for a package of bananas?
Oh, yeah.
It was like $1 for the wonton chips. They have different kinds of juices, carbonated fruit juices.
Yeah, instead of having soda pop, you can go get like blood orange soda.
Yes,
which
blood
was
orange
just like,
is really good.
It was really good. It was just carbonated blood orange juice.
And because it's all dirty hippie food, you're not going to really see much high fructose corn syrup in the place, which makes me happy.
Right.
And they had a good selection of produce. If you're into the organic produces, they had them. That was, I think, the first place we've ever bought blood oranges at all, ever, which
that's
I thought
was the first time I'd ever seen one, except for, like, in a book. Look, this is what they had in ancient Rome.
Yeah, and they had also a really good cheese selection. And they have a good bakery, a good fresh breads. And this is an entertaining story. We got lost. Google Maps dropped us off in the middle of nowhere in Pittsburgh once when we were trying to get to a mall to meet my parents. And we called them up and said, we're in the middle of nowhere. Half the beltway is shut down in Pittsburgh, so we can't get back the way we came.
Yeah, like we could go east, but we couldn't go back west.
Yeah.
You just couldn't go back.
We'll just catch you another time. Sorry about that. So then we had to, like, bumble our way through Pittsburgh on all these side streets trying to figure out how to get home. At one point, we ended up by Kennywood. And I think I said, if we end up looping around here and get, again, and coming back to Kennywood, we're just going to Kennywood for the day. But we found our way into right by Oakland, and we look over like, oh my god, it's Trader Joe's, we know where we are!
Yay!
And we were starving. We were supposed to meet my parents and my sister and the rest of the family for lunch. We totally missed the lunch date. We pull into the Trader Joe's parking lot, and there's Trader Joe's in the lot, and then there's a McDonald's. And we're like sitting there, and Sheila looks over at the McDonald's, and I look over at the Trader Joe's, and I look at the McDonald's, she looks at the Trader Joe's, and she's like, you know, I really don't want McDonald's. I'm like, you know, I really don't want McDonald's either. Let's go to Trader Joe's and see what we can find. So we go bumbling inside. Bumbling is the word for this trip. It was just full of bumbling. And we just kind of bumble inside, and fall upon the cheese aisle, and we get a big old wedge of brie for, like, really cheap. Their cheese prices, at the time, again, this could be different now, were amazingly cheap. This is about 2 years ago or so.
Yeah, about that.
And then we went over to the bakery and got a stick of bread, went back to the car. We got a bottle of blood orange soda, the big bottle.
Yeah, they have, like, wine-sized bottles.
Yeah.
So they have, like, the little ones if it's just you, and the, like, big ones if you want to split it.
Went back to the car. It was summer. Popped the trunk in the car, sat down. Sheila pulled out, like, a pocket knife. And we broke out, like, the paper towels that were kicking around the trunk of the car. And we just had our little picnic lunch of, like, bread and brie, and I think we got some fruit, too. And
yeah.
The blood orange soda. And we're just sitting there munching away, looking across the parking lot at McDonald's.
And all these angry people sitting in the drive-thru. Yes. I say, I pity those poor people.
We even had a couple people walk by and look at us and look over at McDonald's and are like, yeah, you guys have the right idea. I'm like, yes, we do. It was just so cool. It was just a completely impulsive moment. But that was one of those times when we said, you know, this is one of the ways to go if you want a good lunch. And
yeah.
There's not any place around except fast food. If you could find a grocery store, go grab a wedge of cheese and some bread.
Yeah.
And go nuts. So Trader Joe's gets two hearty thumbs up from us, too. And their prices are very good for being dirty hippie food.
Yeah.
Dirty hippie food gets expensive.
Well, they do have, like, a massive selection of tea and coffee. And you could pretty much buy everything there if you wanted.
The little Luna bars.
Yeah.
And the Cliff bars.
Like Cliff bars.
And they even had the little Cliff Junior bars, or what are they? Cliff. The little
Cliff,
Cliff bars.
Junior.
Cliff Juniors? I can't remember what they're called, but they're like smaller Cliff bars. And Cliff bars rock. They're one of the few, like, energy bars that actually taste like food. So definitely we love Trader Joe's. There's one in Toronto. We need to go check it out soon because I need mustard wonton chips. Hardcore. My dream
Her
is to
walk.
Her and
Jamie, like, went to friggin' town on those things.
Oh, we latched onto them. My dream is to walk into Bulk Barn one day and see the little, like, new sign on a bin and have it be mustard wonton chips. That is my dream. Someday it will come true.
It's not just regular mustard. It's Chinese mustard.
Yes.
The best kind.
The Bernie mustard that really hurts.
The sinus-searing goodness.
Yes. Guaranteed to prevent sinus infections. Not really, but, you know, I like to think so. But I figure if Bulk Barn can come out with the roasted edamame, they're going to come out with the mustard wonton chips someday soon. Just have to.
It's just a matter of time.
Yes. Last thing to talk about, since we're on the little circuit of Pittsburgh by Lulu's, well, two things, is one, the Great Geek Store up the street. Just like how the Imperial Chinese Buffet had the Great Geek Store up the street, in Pittsburgh, up the street from Lulu's, is Phantom of the Attic. There's a comic shop and a separate game shop. These are, like, geek staples in Pittsburgh. Fantastic stores, great selection, really awesome staff. I've never been in one of their shops once and had anybody treat me badly. I've never had them ignore me. I've never had them, like, jump line for somebody else or whatever. They've always been just completely awesome.
Yes.
Helpful. They know their stuff. They're geeks, and they're willing to help you out. They can answer your questions intelligently without being creepy.
Yeah.
I love Phantom of the Attic.
They're
so cool.
Awesome.
Yes. And then, geek-wise, we have to tell you, Lulu's Noodles made us buy a video game. And we talked about it in the video game episode. Fallout 3, because
yes.
There's an expansion for Fallout 3 called Fort Pitt. And I was listening to another podcast that I love, the Exploding Barrel podcast, and the one guy on there, Mike Minotti, was talking about how he got noodles from this one lady in Fallout 3 in the Fort Pitt expansion, and it was Lulu's Noodles. It was like the lady was Lulu, and she was selling noodles. And he's like, he made the connection. He's like, click, click, whirl. That's awesome!
Yay!
I'm like, that
so
is
somebody
awesome.
From Bethesda, obviously... check that out.
Well, then I told Sheila about it. We were in the middle of Blockbuster looking at games to rent, and I said, you know, we should really get this so we can get the expansion, because you can buy Lulu's Noodles and the expansion. And she's like, really? And she looks over and grabs it and reads it, and she's like, oh my god, these are the guys that did Oblivion. And then she grabs the main box and looks at it. Oh my god, it's post-apocalyptic Oblivion. We need this. So
Oblivion with guns.
We bought Fallout 3 because of Lulu's Noodles. So thank you, Lulu.
Yes, thank you.
Anything else to add?
I think that's pretty much it.
Cool. And Lulu's takes cash and credit, which is debit also in the States.
Yeah.
If you're Canadian, don't try to use your internet card. Use a Visa or cash. So.
And you'll be fine.
Yes. Well, this is Tracy.
And this is Sheila. And we're Zwei Fat Chicks. Thanks for listening.
We hope you enjoyed this Zwei Fat Chicks podcast. Please add us as a friend on MySpace and or Facebook. You can also follow us on Twitter. Please email your comments, questions, or suggestions to zweifatchicks@gmail.com. That's zweifatchicks@gmail.com. Our theme music is Hot Swing by Kevin MacLeod. Our podcasts, like Mr. MacLeod's music, are protected under a Creative Commons attribute copyright. You can make copies of our shows and share them with friends, but please make sure that credit is given. Once again, thank you for tuning in, and we hope you have a great day.